Well, I thought that would be a really good start to introducing my guest this morning on the show. In her own words, she's the daughter of a mischievous, hilariously insightful and loving mother with mental health issues. I'd like to welcome my guest, Sonia Beldam, who joins me on the phone now. Morning, Sonia.
Morning, Mandy. What a lovely song. I love that song.
I know, lots of people do. It gets requested lots and lots, it's especially brilliant. Here in the hospital. Mm. No, so tell us about what it was like to grow up with a mum like yours.
Well, it was challenging, let's put it that way, because when I was very little, because you don't know anything else, do you, when you're little? You just think, oh, that's what parents are like. And my mum was always she was always the centre of attention, and not necessarily always for the best reasons. You know, she'd be coming to my school and causing problems, and I'd have to be led out of classes, for example, all the time. And she was just sort of off the wall, really. I think now, if she'd have been observed now, people would have thought she had classic postnatal depression and had depression issues and sort of borderline personality problems, but she wasn't diagnosed really for a very, very long time. So she was 80 years old when she actually finally got diagnosed.
Wow. Yeah, so she went through her entire life then?
And she was very scared of hospitals and very, very nervous of doctors. So she, anytime anybody tried to get her help, my dad tried to get her help, you know, and he realised that she needed it. I mean, she was very funny, let's put it this way. She wasn't a sort of evil mum at all. She was very funny. The things she did are hilarious if I look back on them now. But they were really very, very challenging for most people around us.
Do you think it would have been a different scenario had she been diagnosed back in the 60s for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Because she was sort of manic. I think we call it now manic phases, where she'd be super energized and very, very jolly and getting on with things and just going, just literally just grabbing life by both hands and sometimes getting it slightly wrong. And then other times when she'd be very low and I couldn't really do anything to help her. I remember that very much as a little girl, seeing her very, very upset and thinking, I can't help my mum. Why can't I help her? And other times we were flying off and she was, you know, barging her way into Buckingham Palace, you know. So I think those ups and downs would have been levelled off a little bit had she been maybe medicated or supported. I think she would have, those issues wouldn't have been quite so dramatic, let's put it that way.
But
on the other hand, though, Mandy, weirdly, you think, well, I mean, she has achieved and done some extraordinary things, and had she been medicated maybe or all those sides of her had been rubbed out when she was younger, maybe she wouldn't have done the things that she's done. I mean, there are those things you can look back on it now and think, I don't know. But I think she did have a lot of problems, and I think had she had the support, I'm not sure about the medication, but I don't know, I'm not a medical expert, but I think had she had the support, I'm sure she would have been happier, because she was a tortured soul, but she isn't now. She's absolutely brilliant now.
She sounds it. Yeah. When you talk about her in your blog, it's so lovingly.
Oh, thank you.
And how much work did you have to do to get to that point that you were, you know,
yes, it was
so connected?
Yes, because there were times when, you know, she tried to marry me off to a sailor on Christmas Day, for example. One day, my first wedding, she tried to burn my then mother-in-law because she thought she looked like Joan of Arc and took exception to her. So took a lighter and tried to burn her hair. That was all rather embarrassing. Yeah, I know, she's hysterical. And then at funerals, she heckles people all the time. She heckles theatre. She goes to see Shakespeare, and she doesn't like something someone says, and she stands up and says, speak up, or she'll say, no, I don't like that bit, stop that, don't do that again.
Well, that's all right if you're in somewhere like the Globe, I guess, where audience participation is supposed to happen, but perhaps not at the Haymarket or
not
something.
Not at the Haymarket, or the Littleton at the National. Let me try and remember that one. So yes, to answer your question, so there were all those incidents that were funny but embarrassing, but they didn't, I was more grown up then. But there were times in my teens when I just wanted nothing to do with her because she was so embarrassing and very inappropriate. And she wrote to my school once and said, my daughter's pregnant, she's promiscuous, and I don't think she should be coming to school. She needs treatment and all this. I mean, I was studying for my O-levels. So she sort of, she came into my world occasionally like that, as you really didn't know where that had all come from. And of course, the fallout from things like that was immense. So there were times when I just didn't have anything to do with her. Then months would go by and I'd say, no, I'm not talking to you. Can't be bothered. You know, she's too painful.
Yeah.
However, as she got older and I realised that I could see, I always knew she had issues. And I used to talk to my dad about it a lot. And he'd say, unless she wants to have the help herself, there's nothing we can do. We can't intervene unless she becomes a problem for herself, for her own safety. And so she never quite got that far. So I suppose it was probably about 15 to 20 years ago, when I started to really see her behaviour as something separate from her. I thought, well, I love my mum. I love everything about her as a woman, as a mother, and she's so generous and she's so kind. But this behaviour is driving me crazy. So when I could separate those two things out, so behaviour's one thing, mother's another thing, I started to really love her, really love her, and then did a lot of thinking about what she was going through, a lot of research. I was constantly reading books on psychology, talking to doctors myself, trying to get sort of a handle on her. And then I think the real change came when I thought, I'm going to have a conversation with her. I'm going to try and see whether she can actually listen to me. And at this point, she had actually been properly arrested. She was put in what she says, cufflinks all night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she said, I've been in cufflinks all evening, she said. I thought, oh, well, you've been to a posh do. No, but she handcuffs, and she'd been restrained because she was out of control, so the police had to restrain her. So she was now finally in proper care, and the system kicked in and really, really helped her. And I said to her, Mum, I know that you've been going through all sorts of issues when you were younger, and what you managed to do while me and my brother were little, and how you brought us up, Mum, I just want you to know how grateful I am for that, because you must have been going through the most terrible problems, and I want you to realise how much I love you for what you've done. Look at me, I'm fine, you know, I'm doing really well. And do you understand? And she just looked at me, she took my hand my head in her hands, and she looked at me and she said, I understand now, Sonia. Thank you. Thank you. And for that split second, I knew she'd got it and she'd heard it. And then she was off talking about jam and she'd seen a cat and she's stuck, you know. So she was off then, so the tension span. But I think that was the pivotal point, Mandy. That was the point when I thought, I've had my piece. I've told her. She's understood that I realise. And suddenly everything became much easier to deal with. And she's absolutely charming. She did calm down a lot after that. I mean, obviously, I can't take the credit for everything, but yeah. She has the most amazing care home she's in now. They are fantastic with her. Aww. And watching them communicate with people with learning difficulties and dementia and mental problems like my mum has, watching the real professionals at work, you think, wow.
Wow, if only you'd had a bit more of that bit earlier on. Exactly. So what prompted you to set up a blog about
her? Well, that was interesting because I resisted that for ages. I used to, once Mum and I had this sort of transformation really in our relationship and she was now safe and I could get on with everything and I wasn't there on my white horse charging down to sort everything out and, you know, rescuing and all that. I used to post little tiny snippets of our funny conversations on Facebook just to make people laugh. And some of the people who'd met my mum would go, oh, typical Margaret, yes, yes, oh, Mum, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it would be great because I thought, oh, I'm now making her into somebody that people enjoy reading about rather than spending a lifetime going, oh, you'll never guess what my mum's done this time. So I started it on Facebook and then it was last summer and everyone kept saying, write a blog. And I was like, no, haven't got time. Who would read it anyway? 30 people maybe. And then the pressure got on and then a friend of mine said, you know, I've got a writer, he's a comedy writer, but he's basing a new comedy character on all the Facebook posts you're doing about your mum. And I thought, now I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
It's all a little bit public. Oh, right. And I thought, maybe I had better blog it. So I started in September and put the first blog out, then a couple of blogs. And then I looked on the numbers and I thought, who are all these people following this blog. They're like 600 or 700 people. What's going on? And I thought, well, I don't know that many people well enough. And then it just started. It just took off on its own, in life of its own. And the wonderful thing is that people are, I mean, I absolutely love it. People are writing to me all the time. They get to me through the blog, which is sonyasmum.com, and my email's on there. And they write to me and they say, we hadn't really thought about our parents, our brothers, our sisters, whoever, as having had mental problems that hadn't really been addressed. We just thought they were badly behaved or just embarrassing or naughty or whatever. But we've really made us think. And people are actually telling me about how they've had similar conversations with these people in their family, and have found a very similar sort of healing effect, that now that there's an acceptance and an understanding of the problems, that they're all starting to sort of feed that back to me, which is incredible.
It's really good, yeah. I was going to ask that, actually, whether generally the feedback is good from the blog.
Yes, absolutely. I had one, it was very funny, I went on the Jeremy Vine show on Radio 2 a while ago. Mm-hmm. He wanted to do something alternative before Mother's Day, and I think it's quite an interesting way to talk about my mum for Mother's Day. It's like, wow, that's a brave decision. I had one lady who said that, she said, I think, is this the right idea to air this in public? Should you be doing this? And I thought, no, I understand that. I totally understand that, because my concerns were always, am I in some way exploiting my mum's issues here? But I think, to answer that question, so I struggled a lot with that. And then I thought, by sharing those stories, the number of people who are coming back and saying how much of a help and a support they are outweighs any issues there might be that people think that this is me making use of my mum's problems.
Absolutely.
Because it is the sharing of them. And people, I mean, I do find it very, I'm sort of humbled by it. People say, you know, amazing work that you're doing. I'm thinking, well, I didn't actually start out to make it a blog about mental health issues. It started out as a catharsis, really, and to sort of reinvent mum and just to explain about this amazing process. But it has really taken off. I'm surprised. I'm as surprised as anybody.
I'm not really, because I have to say I've read quite a lot of it now, and it does make me laugh out loud.
Oh yeah.
But it, you know, it's you never get the impression that you're coming at it from a point of view of making fun of her, but more like from a loving place. Which it does the whole blog it comes over like that. It comes over as though you're very loving towards her. One thing I did want to ask was, has your mum ever read any of the blog?
It's very funny. Every so often, I get on the phone to her. Some, you know, I'm on always see her and on the phone to her. And sometimes she says, she does that all the time. Oh, Sonia darling, my name is Sonia darling, not Sonia. It's Sonia darling. Oh, Sonia darling, said, now listen, and then she'll read out a bit, and then she'll say, oh, aren't I funny? Or she'll read something, and then once she said. She says, I do remember that Christmas lunch, she says, that Christmas lunch. Oh, what a mother I am, she says, what a mother I am to you. And she laughs. She thinks it's very funny.
Oh, that's charming. Yeah, really charming.
So she knows. And she thinks it's great. She says, oh, if it helps other people, of course, she said. Am I famous? So I think, you know, so she's aware of it. Although I don't think she doesn't concentrate on it for very long. She doesn't have much of an attention span.
Yeah.
She's 87 now, Mandy. So
wow.
She's slowing down slightly, and you know, she doesn't focus for very long on things, but she seems really happy, and the care home love it, because they're getting insights into her history that they didn't know, and of course that gives them more understanding of what
of her
the
as
stories
a person.
They can tell her and the
story.
Exactly, and it works around. It's great.
Now listen, on this particular blog, I've read that you said, you know, you're glad for the mum that you've had, because she's given you the courage to do what you've done.
That's
in
right.
your life. And I just thought you could maybe expand a little bit on that, namely bus driver.
Oh yes, bus driver. I know.
Tell us about that.
That's my favourite achievement, honestly. Apart from marrying my wonderful husband Tony, So mum's always had this amazing sort of, she'll wake up and she'll have a dream. She says, I've had a dream about this person. And she then goes, she's off, and she gets a flight somewhere and finds out about this person. So I've always felt that you can do anything in life. Do you know what? You really can if you put your mind to it. And so I've always wanted to drive a London bus. I just love driving big vehicles. I'd always be the one volunteering to drive the truck or the removals thing for my friends. And I thought, I'd love it, a London bus. And friends of mine run a Red Route Master company. And they're old radio people, so like you, they love talking and telling the world about fantastic things. And in their spare time, they run this red bus company. So I said, oh, I'd love to drive one of your buses. And they said, well, go and get yourself qualified, and you can. And I thought, oh, okay. I need to do a bit more than that. So anyway, so I said to my husband, do you know, we were going to go to Italy maybe for a week or so. Do you mind if we don't? And I just spend my money on bus driving lessons. So last summer, I terrified people on the North Circular, learning how to drive.
I love this.
And then, so my very first lesson was out on the North Circular. It was hilarious. I loved it, but my goodness, it was scary. And then I passed my test, and so now I drive Red Route Master buses in my spare time in the centre of London. So I think if there's any scarier driving challenge, I think, with a huge double-decker bus full of passengers going Knightsbridge and Pied Park Corner. And I absolutely love it. It gives me joy, and it's the sort of thing my mum would have done. It's the sort of thing she would have just said, don't say, one day I'll do this. Go out and do it. So every time I get in my bus, I hoik myself up into that incredibly high cabin to drive it. I'm thinking, yeah, thanks, Mum. You made me do this. Yeah, it's that attitude. She's imbued that in me.
Wow. And that's not your full-time job either, is it?
No, I do different things. So I do a lot of celebrity fixing. So TV shows where they have various people on, presenters they need. I fix celebrities. I used to work in radio. So I was a radio producer years ago at Radio 2. So I've worked with lots of different people sort of off air. So I do a lot of that fixing. So I do that. And I do media training as well. So I help people using some of Mum's insights, actually. I help people to gain confidence if they want to go on camera on radio, or if people want to do videos for their blogs or YouTube, I help them with camera techniques and all that. And my other new thing that's come up to me is that I've had a couple of publishers asking me if I could turn Sonia into a book.
Sonia, you've just taken the words out of my mouth. I've got a question here, and it was going to be, any plans to make a book? Oh, and there you are.
Well done. You see, you're a mind reader. It's a challenge because the blogs work. They sort of take a couple of hours, you know, whereas the book takes many days. But I'm having fun with that, and I hope that might be out next summer. And I so want it to come out when Mum can read it and understand it. And that's my ambition, so that she can see it. So the book will be interesting.
And be very proud of you, I'm sure she will.
Oh, she's proud of me if I walk down the street.
So she's
a wonderful person.
She's definitely an inspiration because, you know, I mean, the dialogue around mental health issues is very serious at the moment. Yes. And sometimes we sort of fail to accept that people around us also have these marvellous personalities which go along with their mental health issues. And you expose it beautifully on your blog.
Oh, thank you.
You do.
Well, that's the intention, I think. And also that it's very easy, I think, to grow up with problems that you think, oh, it's because I had a crazy mother, or oh, it's I'm depressed because I had this and that, and to be very use it almost as an excuse, not an excuse, that's a hard way of saying it, but sometimes I've heard people saying, oh, you know, my mum was crazy, my dad was crazy, I don't want anything to do with them. And I think that's a real shame if people stop at that point, because my thing is separate the person who you love unconditionally, and you know who loves you, and separate them from the behaviour. And the behaviour is what gives you the angst and the stress and the issues. Try and see them separately, and then you might just see a gentler way into the person. And that way you can love them totally. And that's what I do with my mum. I love everything about her.
Aww.
I love every little mad foible. I love it even if she throws coffee at me, which she does sometimes.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, she doesn't mean to. Well, no, she does, actually. No, she doesn't. She just gets fed up sometimes, and she just sort of thinks, oh, I don't like this coffee, it's too cold, and she'll slam it down on the table. And And the next minute she's laughing and then getting biscuits from all the people at the care home and distributing them to all the other people in the
room. She sounds like a real, real character.
She's a character.
I've still to read everything on the blog, but I definitely intend to. I've read quite a bit of it, and I would urge anybody that is listening to go and have a look at soniasmum.com, because it will make you smile. And there's the, you know, we all need things to smile about.
Yes, exactly.
So it's been really, really fun talking to you. And thank you so much for coming on. And I'm definitely going to be waiting for that book to come out.
Oh, there you go. I'll send you a signed copy and hopefully give you an inscription from Mum if she's up for it.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Oh,
well, you know, I've picked a song to finish our interview on. And I don't know if you're a fan of Gregory Porter.
Oh, I love Gregory Porter.
He bought, yeah, I do too. And he bought a track out last year called Love.
Oh, wonderful. What a great piece of music.
And I thought that you might like that to finish off. Because, I mean, your experience with your mother, it comes from a place of love, and it's just gorgeous to watch. So thank you for sharing it with us today. It's been really, really nice speaking to you.
Thanks for inviting me on, Mandy. All the best.
No problem. To you too.
Cheers.